Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
What's up, giblets, ladies and giblets, to all the fans that listen to this shindig of a show in the UK, Australia, Canada, Latvia, Norway, and of course the good old US of A. I'm going to say the following about Money in the Bank. Looks promising. Although there's one freaking fracking problem. Most people have already pointed this out. Most people don't care, or some of you don't care. Brock Lesnar, yay or nay? That's what I thought. See, there's a lot of things that go through my head when I think, gee, we have a champion who has not defended in quite some time. And that is because he only defended it 10 times. He appeared 35 times in 2017. He's held the title just as long as CM Punk. I don't know what the reasoning behind it is, and I don't give a flying fuck about the statistics surrounding that. Yes, I do. CM Punk defended the title well over as many times as, you know, or more than Brock Lesnar. Wait, he did defend it more. So why, if you look at the title defenses between Lesnar and CM Punk, 474 days, 10 title defenses, and CM Punk has over 100 title defenses. That makes no sense whatsoever in the world of professional wrestling, and I am going to discuss that more on, folks, but jeez. I feel like reading through stats first, because that's more important to me at the moment, or as of the moment. This community, there's a lot of people that relay articles and share photos and do all kinds of outlandish stuff. Oh, yes. 141 title defenses for CM Punk. That's 131 more than Brock Lesnar. What does this have to do with Money in the Bank review and preview of Money in the Bank? All right, well, if you want me to do that, I'm not going to play a fancy schmancy theme when it comes to parlay, relaying statistics to all of you lovely folk. There comes a point in time, folks, when I'm just like, okay, yeah, I'm going to just read the matches because I have nothing better to do than say, I'm excited for NXT TakeOver. But Money in the Bank 2018, I hope it's one of the surprise pay-per-views, because it's a surprise if there's a surprise pay-per-view. We've only had one or two, and that was Survivor Series in Houston. I was there in the Toyota Center, which it's okay. Jeez. Cage side seats, yay. All right, so Nia Jax versus Ronda Rousey. It's a co-branded pay-per-view, and I don't know. The first women's in the Money in the Bank ladder match was okay, but women's in the Money in the Bank ladder match, Ember Moon, Alexa Bliss, Natalya, Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Lana, and Naomi. I'm going to go with, I don't know, this thing may be wrong, because you know how predictions are sometimes wrong, right? Some of it's saying that it would be somebody from the red brand, so I'm going to say Sasha Banks, maybe, possibly, quite, maybe, I'm not sure. For the men's Money in the Bank ladder match, you have Braun Strowman, Bobby Roode, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, The Miz, Rusev, Samoa Joe, and a member from The New Day, so that could be anybody, but I have a feeling it might possibly be Big E, I'm not sure. I predict The Miz will win that one because, just going off a wild guess here, maybe Kevin Owens, I don't fucking know. AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Again, I pause because my brain hurts just thinking about this match. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it indifferent? Will it give us a good ride? Will it tell a story? I don't know. I'll just have to wait and see when I go to Chicago because fucking Christ, I don't know the results to every match, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax for the Women's Champion, the Raw Women's Championship. You know what? I'm confused on that match. I don't know who's the baby and who's the heel, but that's none of my concern. I do predict Nia Jax will win by disqualification or something weird that goes on in the match that'll give an authoritative angle, if you catch my drift. Carmella versus Asuka in the SmackDown Women's Championship. I hate this. If Carmella goes over clean, guess what? T, you have my vote of confidence. Because why, you know, I'm going to cancel my subscription to Hulu, blah, 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 promise, promise, whatever. If she does win, it better be by DQ, because no way, Jose, will I fucking believe that Carmella could ever beat Asuka clean. Let's just say that. Carmella's got fucking skill as a heel. And some say she, never mind, I'll leave that untouched. Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal. Why? Why? And I say why because so there is the point to that match because they've been feuding, okay? The Bludgeon Brothers versus Gallows and Anderson for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. This could be a very good match, or could it? See why I'm hesitant on Main's match. Let me just roll through the list. Seth Rollins versus Elias for the Intercontinental Championship. You know what, folks? Don't get mad at good old B-Train. But if Elias ends up defeating Seth Rollins, I won't be disappointed. I will, however, say, kind of filling the void of Honky Tonk Man, who hasn't existed in this world for a very long time, gimmick-wise, but he does exist as a legend, bringing up the pink Cadillacs and imitating Elvis, blah, blah, blah. Oh, Lord. Okay. Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn might be the dark horse match, meaning the dark horse being Sami Zayn. I think he should have had an extra spot in Money in the Bank ladder match because that's just my personal feel on that. For shits and giggles, the shits and giggles match, Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass. You guys really want my opinion on that one? I know Daniel Bryan is probably going to try and give us all a wrestling match, just like Big Cass will try and give us a wrestling match. However, I will say this. I ain't going to be surprised if Big Cass defeats Daniel Bryan, simply because Daniel Bryan's role now is will forever be up to the creative. Yay! No more assumptions. Woohoo! I don't understand. Okay. That card has now been read for, and therefore I'm going to fucking review it. So, here's my thoughts on Money in the Bank. Women's match, maybe Raw, maybe SmackDown. Men's match, maybe Raw, maybe SmackDown. I don't fucking care. As long as they give us a decent show, cool. I'll be fine. I don't want over the top just yet because then you waste that and don't have anything left for Survivor Series or SummerSlam. But knowing WWE, I really don't know at this point, folks, because I sat through 6.5 hours at WrestleMania. I went and saw, or I watched Royal Rumble with friends. I've seen a lot of WWE stuff. I've been through Evolve. I've been through CZW. I've been to Wrestling Revolver. To each flavor of ice cream that I've seen and tasted, the sour taste that's left in my mouth is WrestleMania 34, 33, 32. 31 was decent. 29 had its moments. Okay. Let's look up the NXT card, shall we? NXT TakeOver Chicago. Aha. I always love it. Love it, love it, love it. No, gee, okay. Here we go. I don't want to go directly to the link, because that site will just have a bunch of pop-ups and shit. TakeOver 2018 matches, start time, date, blah, 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 according to CBSSports.com. Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa in a Chicago street fight. Now, that the last one in New Orleans was great. Aleister Black takes on Lars Sullivan for the NXT Championship. Women's Championship is on the line. Shayna Baszler versus Nikki Cross. The tag team titles are on the line. So there's a lot of, this might as well be NXT's version of Clash of Champions. I fucking love it, though. Undisputed Era versus Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. I don't know what's going to happen in that one. Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream. Love those two. Okay, so even the match list is shorter on NXT, but I'm more excited about Shayna Baszler versus Nikki Cross. One, you have the proponents of a great match, good build, between Nikki and Shayna. How does this compare to Maine? Now, see, if I do that, some people lose their ever-loving shit. If I don't do it, people will still, well, you fucking brought it up. It's just like Facebook. You post something, and voila, it gets, you know, blasted out of proportion. If you, you know, post something like it about opinion or discussion or debate, then people lose their shit and have to comment whether they love you, hate your guts, or want to just throw you in a dumpster because it'd be funny. Now, anyways, I get off track. NXT, I'm really looking forward to two matches on that card. Actually, three. I lied. Shayna Baszler versus Nikki Cross. Why? Because you actually have combustible elements of someone that could actually challenge and not be afraid, like Dakota Kai is. You know, she's playing the I'm Afraid of You gimmick, which is complete bullshit. Why is it complete bullshit? Because she's just another Bayley. Bayley is she's been a champion, a Raw Women's Champion. I get it. You don't have to point that out to me, sir. What I'm saying is, there's no rhyme or reason as to how there's still seats. I can even check it on my... Actually, you know what, folks? I can actually sit here and check on StubHub and not blink, bat, an eyelash, but say, holy crap, you can still get tickets to Money in the Bank. But if I look for NXT, there's no tickets to be found. And I'm still going to carry on this conversation because it bears fucking repeating. Let's go to StubHub, shall we, ladies and gents? We're not going to pause for station identification. There's no fucking need to, because it's still saved under my search engine. And let's not just base it off of third-party websites now, shall we? Money in the Bank search engine. You go to Sunday. Tickets are as low as $27. Okay, I really don't care about the seat maps. So let's look all tickets. Seat map coming soon. Yeah, well, there's still seats available. Now they're $26. Oh, my God, there's still seats available. All tickets, two tickets. Let's see, up $38, $35. So they finally fucking sold. Holy crap. Now that, okay. Oh, those are parking passes only. I'm not kidding. No, thank you. Let's go to Metro Seats since they want to hide the information from WA. Money in the Bank. Monster Jam, I don't really want to go see that. Money in the Bank, yeah. Oh, wow. Parking. They generally, there's seats available, I fucking knew it. Oh, goodness. 203, 201, 116, 116 is sold out. I know that this can't be possible because you wouldn't be able to see anything unless you're sitting behind the ring and see stuff on the Tron, but Jesus Christ. 109 and 104, sections 116 and completely sold out. Around the floor, you've got section 7, which, let me see how much those seats are, $958, folks. Let's go to a different third-party website, SeatGeek.com. You can also go through these websites and find tickets if you really want to go, my man. I'm not lying. Go to MetroSeats.com. It's a third-party vendor. You can either print out the seats at home. You can also go to SeatGeek, TickPick. Ticketmaster.com has no seats available. For more information on WWE tickets wholesale, you can go to Ticketmaster.com, affiliated on the website www.com/Ticketmaster.com. Did I just advertise after I just kind of vented? Yeah. It's called personality, man. Or just being fair. Main roster versus NXT. That ought to be. Everyone debates that. Well, some people don't care because they're wrapped up in their own shindig of wrestling, right? Promote. Go out and see. I'm going to speak briefly on Kyoto, Iowa. A friend of mine, Kurt Gannon, had a triple threat match against Mad Dog Mark McDowell. And there were lots of people there. There's probably a good crowd, man. It was over 100 people. It was on the weekend. It was very hot. A lot of mosquitoes. But I, you know what? I had me a damn good time. And Kurt, you know, picked up a really heavy person. That dude had to have been over 300 pounds, close to, actually, well over. Let's just say Kurt picked up a dude that was bigger than him, suplexed him, and landed him very safely. So I say he's the god of suplexes. Deion Russman is billed from Alaska. He had a really sick-looking spear. The ring was a bit slippery. But you know what? Those guys pulled it off. Great match. Awesome weekend. Now back to the subject at hand, folks. Why is it StubHub's hiding shit? They're hiding shit from good old B-Train. I sound like a crazy loon. Although some of you... may actually say that's the norm for me. How dare you? I mean, look at this. Section 7 is the section that I'm honed in on. My God. If I look at NXT, these seats, there's nothing. There's nada. WWE NXT TakeOver Allstate Arena view tickets. There's nothing. It's completely sold out. Holy crap on a cracker. Did I just find the direct answer to my question? Why is NXT better than Maine at selling tickets? Because some people believe that the wholesomeness of WWE is relied upon the rookie division, better known as NXT. Some of you who don't watch the show at all, no problem. It's your party. You'll cry if you want to, die if you want to. I don't care. Some people believe that Maine is the only saving grace. Like I said, to each flavor of ice cream, it's all part of the fun and games of going to a WWE event. How do I put this? I've been to several WrestleManias. I've been to, let's see now, Rumble St. Louis, Royal Rumble in San Antonio, and Royal Rumble in Philly. I have been through several NXT TakeOvers. I have been through 3 Revolver shows in Iowa. That's Sammy Callahan's promotion out. You know, and what is the difference between all of those companies? One obviously runs a huge tight ship. They're better known as WWE. If you say that you're going to WrestleMania, that's like saying to a wrestling fan now, you're going to a show that lasts 6.5 hours, have fun, bring your signs, do whatever. If you say, but the reality of it is, have fun watching the beach ball being punctured by security because people are not paying attention to Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. I had fun in the sense that I watched Undertaker destroy John Cena. I had fun in the sense that Matt Hardy won a battle royal, and I had fun in the sense that Naomi threw Bayley over the top rope and won the women's first ever women's battle royal at WrestleMania. See, I mean, there's good points and bad points in going to WWE events is what I'm saying. But the point that I'm trying to make is, when you look at ticket sales, does that affect people's viewpoints on the company? No, it's not going to. But in my opinion, if you see things on the internet and you see that Ring of Honor, an event that wasn't even tied to that, well, supposedly, All In, sold out in 30 minutes. Are there going to be tickets available? I don't know. You'd have to check that out. But if they sell more, that's saying we can still do this as a company. Cody Rhodes and the Bullet Club all managed to self-promote. You know how hard it is just to get 300 tickets in the independents? I mean, it's not hard. It's all about how you promote it, how you make your posters look, how you make your flyers look, how you make your talent look. You bolster them up. Even if they could look like shit in real life, if you make an airbrush look real, real nice on a photo, ties in with my subject. It's all about presentation. Statistics are half the battle. That leave that to the bloggers and the whatevers. But like, it's highly annoying to go through an entire conversation with somebody who still believes that WWE is selling out. That depends on the venue, my friend, because like, there's still seats available on third party. You know, the day before, you better hope to God the sales go up, bro, to make your point. So far, not just on one third party website, I've looked through 4 or 5 more ticket websites. Eventbrite, there's a lot. There's more than just what I'm pretty sure there's listings. SeatGeek, TickPick, Ticketmaster, like I said, bro, they will lie to you and say not available to make you think that the seats have been sold. Other than that, I think the third party buyers may have bought them. Just so you have an idea, they're selling them for over $100. And I just listed one that's plus $1,000 you've seen in Section 7 on the floor at Allstate Arena. That's just an example, you know, what you could be looking forward to. If you have that money, my friend, by all means, go for it. Unless I have them, I mean, now I'm trying to just piece stuff together. Case in point, ticket sales are very vital when you're trying to promote a wrestling show, even if it is Money in the Bank. Allstate Arena still has tickets available for everything else. And mother, I've got 19 minutes left. Damn it, I always do this. But you know what? Tomorrow I can continue the madness. That is my mind. But folks, for now, I dare you to enter my mind, because I've got 19 minutes left, and trust me, I can cram in what I'm going to talk about today. Enter my mind, if you fucking dare.
Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of personality.
Sometimes it's best if things are just left unsaid and left alone in the wrestling business, and leave it up to the promoters because you have no business, you're a fan, you don't know. Well, the problem is, man, we are not puppets anymore. Times have changed. The marks have grown smarter. They're called smarks. Some people have grown into being a podcast host, yours truly. But, you know, like I said, I don't intend or intentionally say, yeah, I was a manager, so therefore I must know everything about the business. No. When you're a fan, is told to you as if you were being a little child getting ready for bed. And the stories that we are told, some of them make sense to us, and to others, they really don't. It all depends on how you look at it. If you look for the faults in wrestling, then you're going to find faults. There's just no getting around it. Brock Lesnar, CM Punk. You want to look at the starts of their careers? Let's do that, shall we? Because I have to have factual backing for some of you to actually believe in what I'm telling you, which is sad, but might as well do this, okay? CM Punk, wrestling career. Let's just say, okay, I'm not going to say his name because it just gets annoying. He's actually 6'2". Holy shit. That's what they bill him as. I don't think, okay. Jeez, come on. So he was born in 78. I don't care about birthday. What I do find hilarious is that he started off in Ring of Honor in 05. So started a little later than Lesnar. I know Lesnar began in 2002. I just want to double check that because I want to be factual for a change. Instead of, you know, just ranting in circles. Lesnar was born a year before Punk. July 12, 1977. Okay. So he started in 2000, so 5 years before Punk. He got in developmental in the year. He was a tag team champ with Shelton Benjamin. Cool, all right. 2002, he won the Undisputed title at the age of 25. King of the Ring in 2002 and 2003 Royal Rumble winner. He was named defensive tackle for the Minnesota Vikings. Was cut 2004. He signed with New Japan. He won IWGP's Heavyweight Championship. And he was in the Inoki Genome Federation, blah, blah. So Lesnar did start sooner than Punk. Does that give him leverage as far as career-wise? Some of you may argue, well, he's bigger, he's stronger, and at least he wins titles. Okay, look, man, his career in UFC. Defeated Randy Couture. It says debuted against Frank Mir. Okay, in 2008. All right, so he sidelined a diverticulitis. He beat Shane Carwin, blah, blah, blah. Lesnar then lost it to Cain Velasquez in UFC 21 in 2011. So he rejoined at WrestleMania 30. He ended Undertaker's streak. I'm never going to forget that when I was there. He won the WWE World Heavyweight Championship in 14, and won the Universal World Championship, as we all know, in 2017. It's weird because, folks, this is what is the underlying factor. The UFC announced that Lesnar would return to fight at UFC 200, even though he was still contracted with WWE. It said Lesnar tested positive for clomiphene, a banned substance on the UFC's anti-doping policy, was suspended by UFC by the Nevada State Athletic Commission for 1 year and fined $250,000. So that victory was no contest. See, that's the thing, folks. He's more, if you look at the two in comparison, yes, Punk is in UFC now. Yes, CM Punk has a desire to come back through Ring of Honor. If he comes back, it's a big fucking fracking if. The problem that I have with comparison coming out, because see what you're doing? We're all giving Lesnar more credit, more credibility by showing memes about how many days he's been champion and how many times that the title has been defended, blah, blah, blah. 10 times that Lesnar has defended the Universal Championship. Alexa Bliss has called out Lesnar, Reigns, Rollins, The Miz, Ambrose. I mean, list of talents that the WWE just goes through on a daily basis and says, thank you for being a part of our company, and we'll just, you know, find a spot for you. Here it is. I don't know, you know, why the decision was to bring Lesnar. Okay, simple logic, simple stupid logic. He's a draw. So there you have an answer to one question. If you have a draw that gets you tickets, then you might think as the promoter, so what if the people complain if I pull his ass or make him drop the title? He's still a fucking draw. However, if you look at it from a fan's perspective, Brock Lesnar, his attendance is worse than a kid who's doing whatever the fuck they're doing in high school to not graduate. Is it any of my business about said kid? No. Is it any of my business about Lesnar showing up? Am I the one in charge? No. But my thing is, I love the fact, or I don't like the fact that he is the representation for a WWE champion, just like LeBron James is supposedly the greatest ever. And I, you know, could touch on that a million times. He doesn't have a supporting cast, much like Lesnar doesn't have the support of the locker room, because he's the dude that shows up, but when you notice if it's near WrestleMania, near the big four, you make most of your money. That's not so bad on his part. I get it from a business perspective, just a little bit. What I'm trying to figure out is why would some people just stand behind him? Is it because you guys are afraid of his ass? Or is it because you don't want to tell him the reason why you are champion is because you're basically the draw and the merch seller? By merch sales, I mean, look, if I look at Brock Lesnar t-shirt sales, which I'm going to do right now, I would say my keyboard would stop being evil. This is according to Forbes this week, blah, blah, blah. I'm just looking at 2017 to give a varied example. It seems, if you believe what you believe you're saying, how can they not turn him, you know, blah, blah, blah. I honestly, no. So, I can't find numbers, but I'm going to just say this. One of the main reasons Brock Lesnar is selling so well, because he puts Suplex City Bitch in the state highway, designed like your state highway, graphic-wise, let's say you're in Cincinnati, he put Cincinnati. The point is, he's not a good representation of the company, and I don't know why. Why? So we get buzzing about it, talking about it? No. He's not a... To make Lesnar a trend would mean, okay, you finally defend your title. You look ring rusty. You look strong, but you look like you get gassed. The only person that got ever praised from Brock Lesnar by working him was Samoa Joe. The guy that you seldom see tweet out stuff unless it's really fucking funny or post shit on Instagram like his latest post. I would rather see Samoa Joe or Kevin Owens. Hell, anybody that would be willing to defend that title night after night, like the good old days, like with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat or Randy Savage, even Hulk Hogan, you know, people bitch about him. Point is, those gentlemen that I just listed were fighting champions. The Undertaker back in his day, Shawn Michaels, Roddy Piper, even though he was the Intercontinental Champion and never a World Heavyweight Champion, William Regal. These men fought every single night in every live town that you can think of, Cowtown to East Coast to wherever. That's what I'm getting at. It's all about how you present stuff to fans. If you present stuff as if you were, you know, this is how you should feel and you shouldn't bash our company. I'm not bashing them, just I care. Because WWE is the company that I pay attention to the most, because why? Do I pay attention heavily to Ring of Honor Evolve, or do I just centralize my focus on what I like? No, because I'm fucking scatterbrained most of the goddamn time when it comes to wrestling. I have wrestling ADD. There's so much shit going on. How can I fucking report one thing at a time? I'd have to literally centralize my focus on CZW, which that spot off the trampoline was insane, onto light tubes, ow, no thank you. Some people are sadists and they like death matches. The point is, Lesnar, the way he's been presented to fans as if he can be out of action for 4 months and then show up and literally just tear the fucking house down and beat somebody. No, he doesn't tear house down. He just, same offense. Shoulder tackle, shoulder thrust in the circle, turnbuckle 3 times. Out of the corner, clothesline, body slam. He's kind of like the muscular, steroidic version of Hogan. The only thing you got to add instead of the leg drop is the F5. Again, like I said, most of what I says ends up on fucking Monday Night Raw is a jab at me or any other podcast host that's trying to make a point to you guys. Is don't overpresent somebody who barely shows up to the company, through which you realize that when CM Punk was with the company, he defended said title 141 times. It really begs the questions. If CM Punk were in the company, would there still be favoritism? Would there still be title defenses? The fact that, what has Lesnar done for us lately? It's amazing how some of you people can cheer for him. Again, I don't dictate who you cheer for, and I don't fucking care, but it boggles my mind how you idiots can be like, oh yeah, he made a t-shirt after our city, yay, we shall cheer him because he beats up Roman Reigns. You dumb fucks. This is why chatting with people about wrestling can go in circles, because some of you, and by some of you, I'm referring to the fuckers with an IQ of 12 who make us look bad on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you go and traipse in the territory of saying there's this wrong with the company and there's this factor wrong with it. No, it's not just about heels and baby faces. It's mainly about, can a show be good or bad? It's simple, stupid. It's fucking logic that keeps the world turning on its axis. For wrestling, that is. They start saying things like, fans shouldn't do this. Fans shouldn't feel that. So in other words, not only can we not think and feel, we're also dumbasses who just go to the show, eat a bunch of popcorn or nachos or cotton candy, get T-shirts for our loved ones, and hang on the rails like a bunch of animals waiting for fucking food to be fed to us. That's how it fucking feels sometimes. You want the honest truth about how fans really feel? We go to a show, and it depends on what show I'm referring to. Is it good or bad? The presentation. The presentation is what will drive me absolutely fucking bonkers. You're going to present us a champion that has only defended his title, Brock Lesnar, 10 times. Granted, CM Punk was kind of prophetic about a few things to really make sense now, what he said on the Colt Cabana podcast. And I'm not just basing it off of one podcast. This is after going and spending money on a company through which says they do things for fans. They try to appreciate us and give us access and do all this fun shit. Let me get you in on a little something. I'm sure you're well aware of fucking WrestleCon, right? It runs the same weekend as WrestleMania. I got more autographs at WrestleCon. Woo! Whoop-de-doo, right? Access is the glorified version of that. But you pay more because if the company's going to make someone sit there, there's some of them that sit there for free, folks, and they sign autographs. They take pictures with you. Sanity, Dolph Ziggler. I mean, the list went on for WrestleMania 34. The point I'm trying to make is, if we as fans are supposed to sit there, and I got the 90-second warning, if we're supposed to sit there and be like, oh yeah, this is awesome, cool, we love you, boo, that's so fucking retarded. No offense, but I watch programming on Hulu. I watch programming on fucking network. And what's sad is I'm watching more old shit because it makes me as a fan feel comfortable. Oh man, back in the day we had competition. Alright folks, for those of you wanting to tune in tomorrow, if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Oh yeah, toodles bitches, I gotta go eat and I gotta get ready for work, so have a nice day, night, whatever. Toodles, bitches, for real. I'll continue my rant tomorrow, because it's easier that way. And I got SmackDown Live, so bye. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of personality. Stop.